Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 20 lines from the top of Kuf Tes Zayin. You will notice that there is a framed section that is approximately 5-6 lines long. After that framed section, there is a double dot, two dots, as we refer to it. A quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chayav V'Oif, V'chule. It goes on to say in the Mishnah that Chayav V'Oif, Einom Min HaTorah, they are not under the prohibition of meat and milk from the Torah. Chaya is an undomesticated kosher variety animal, and oif is bird meat, like chicken. Cooked in milk, chaya and oif are not prohibited from the Torah. Shenemar, lo sevash el gdi b'chalev imo, gimel pa'amim. The posuk of lo sevash el gdi b'chalev imo appears 3 times in the Torah, and that serves to exclude prat l'chaya v'oif ubehema tamea. The Torah excludes by saying gedi. It is telling us a gedi and not a chaya. Gedi being an example of a domesticated animal that will exclude an undomesticated. Gedi as an animal as opposed to a bird, and gedi is a kosher variety animal as opposed to a behema tamea. So gedi limits the prohibition of basar b'chalav to a kosher variety animal, to the exclusion of chaya, oaf, and behema tamea. In the Mishnah that appeared on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, there was another Tanaic opinion, that of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And if you have the ability or option of turning back to Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, you will notice that Rabbi Yossi Haglili appears 4 lines from the bottom over there, and he says, Ne'emar lo sochlu kol nevelo, ve'emar lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. There are 2 psukim referred to here. In other words, we should say 2 parts of the same pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, you shall not eat nevelo, and the end of the pasuk says, you shall not cook goat in its mother's milk. And from this he derives, es shosur mishum nevelo asur levashel b'cholav. That which carries with it a nevela prohibition, at least in potential, carries with it the prohibition of being cooked in its mother's milk, or in milk. Oif, she'osur mishum nevela, yochei osur levashel b'chalav. What about a bird? There is a nevela situation with a bird as well. Is that also included? So the Mishnah there said, tamad lomar b'chalev imo, yotzoi she'en lo chalav ein. The pasuk makes reference to in its mother's milk. Well, birds don't have, They're not milk producers. As such, the Torah is excluding birds from milk and meat, from the prohibition of milk and meat. So when you look at Rabbi Yossi Haglili and you ask yourself, well, what's his position on bird regarding basar b'chalav? He'll tell you it's not included. When you look at Rabbi Akiva and ask him what's his position with regard to bird, he will tell you bird is not included. That brings the Gemara to asking its question, and this is the this will be a point mentioned a little bit later in our discussion. That's a few lines later from the opening piece of Gemara. The very opening piece of Gemara asks another question, and that is, whereas Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah cites Lo Sevashel Gdi B'Chalev Imo 3 times to exclude Chaya, Oif, and Behema Tameya, the Gemara asks, but did we not use this pasuk for Shmuel's teaching? And that we, in fact, see on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Once again, if you have the option of scrolling back to that, or turning back to that page, to Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, you will notice on the upper quarter of the page, Shmuel's name appears, and he darshaned over there from the word Gedi a number of drushas. The Gemara at first thought there were six drushas, but in the end, the Gemara came down with three drushas that are derived from this posuk. So how can it be that the posuk is used for what Shmuel teaches when according to Rabbi Akiva, the posuk teaches something else, the three points that he mentioned? So the Gemara asks, Hani ha afkinu lichid Shmuel. The psukim of Lo Savashik Diba Chalevimo were already darshaned for what Shmuel teaches. The Gemara answers, Kosovar Rabbi Akiva, Isser Chal al Isser. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that a second Isser can be superimposed onto something that is already Usser. Therefore, Chelev Umesa Lo Tzrichi Kra. Points that Shmuel felt you need a pasuk to teach, Rabbi Akiva feels you do not need a pasuk to teach. Shmuel on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis mentioned that Chelev is the was sometimes translated as forbidden fats that are in an animal. It's different sections of the animal that are forbidden to eat. And Mesa is the meat of an animal that was not properly shechted, a nevela. If you cook them in milk, Shmuel said, we learn from the posuk of Lo Savashik Liba Chalevimo that one is in violation. According to Rabbi Kiva, I don't need to use a posuk up for that purpose. Chelev and Mesa in milk are usher by virtue of the fact that a second isser can be superimposed on something that's already usher. Therefore, nevela meat is forbidden. Chelev is forbidden. Once you then go ahead and cook it in milk, there's a second isser, namely the isser of the prohibition of basar b'chalav, milk and meat, is now superimposed on nevela and on chelev. Continuing, shlil. The issue of the shlil, the embryo of an animal being cooked in milk, this is something that Shmuel had used a posuk to teach. That was referred to there as Gedi, Lerabos es Hashlil. Well, that is something Shmuel needed a posuk for. Rabbi Kiva doesn't need a posuk for that. He holds Gedi Ma'al Yehu. It's a regular goat. It's an embryo, but as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, it's a regular goat. So it doesn't need a special limud for it to be forbidden in milk when it's obvious. Aisru Lehu Kulhu. Therefore, the droshes that Shmuel needed the posuk for, Rabbi Kiva does not need a posuk for those drushas. Aisru, lehu, kulhu. Therefore, all of the gedi words become available for what Rabbi Kiva teaches. Prat lechaya v'oif u lebehema tamea. Chaya, oif, and behema tamea are excluded from the prohibition of basar b'chalav. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Ne'emar lo sochlu. This is now a quote from the Mishnah, and we introduce the issue the Gemara addresses right now. We mentioned this a bit earlier. Both Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva agree that bird meat, like chicken and milk, is not Torah prohibited. The Gemara therefore asks, "My ikal bein Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva." After all, they both appear in the Mishnah. If they both appear in the same Mishnah, there must be a point of controversy between them. What is the point of controversy? So to answer this, the Gemara has a couple of answers. Number one, Iko binayu, chaya. A point of difference will be chaya, meat, and milk. Rabbi Yossi Aglili savar chaya doraisa. Rabbi Yossi will be of the opinion that to cook, there would be a Torah level prohibition of cooking undomesticated animal meat in milk. Rabbi Akiva savar chaya derabbanan. Rabbi Akiva will be of the opinion that chaya, being it, that it's excluded on a Torah level, the prohibition therefore is only or maximally on a rabbinic level. So the issue of chaya will be a point of difference. Just to review this, according to Rav Yosef Lili, chaya in milk is an iser d'oraisa. According to Rabbi Kiva, chaya in milk would be an iser d'rabbanan. Iboy esema of iko binayo. Another approach to this is that the issue of the bird itself will be a point of difference. Rabbi Kiva savar chaya v'oif enon min haTorah ha midrabbanan asiri. Rabbi Kiva tells us that chaya and of are not prohibited in milk on a Torah level, but they are prohibited on a rabbinic level. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Savar, Oif, Afilu Midorabonan, Nami Lo Osir. When it comes to bird or chicken in milk, there is no prohibition whatsoever, even on a rabbinic level. There is no prohibition. In other words, as far as Rabbi Yossi Haglili is concerned, chicken in milk is no different than fish in milk. No Iser Dorabonan either. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports the analysis of the Gemara that says, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, there isn't even an Iser Durabanan. The source has two parts to it. The first source is of less interest to us as far as our Gemara study of Chulin. It talks about activities done on Shabbos in anticipation of a bris milah, of a circumcision. It says, "B'makomash Rabbi Eliezer, in the locale of Rabbi Eliezer, hoyu korsim eitzin, lasas pechomim, lasas barzel, b'Shabbos." They would cut wood on Shabbos in order to make from that wood coals. The coals being used to fashion a knife for the bris milah. And now, the next case, which is of greater importance for our discussion, b'mkomos Rabbi Yossi Haglili, hayu oichlin basar oif b'cholav. In Rabbi Yossi Haglili's locale, they used to eat chicken and milk together. In other words, cooking up some chicken in milk, as far as Rabbi Yossi Haglili and his community is concerned, is perfectly all right. There isn't even a rabbinic restriction. Now, a little story to illustrate this. Levi iklo lebei Yosef Rishba. Levi was visiting the home of Yosef the Trapsman. Aisu lekamei reisha the tivsa the chalba. They served Levi the head of a tivsa, a type of bird, and it was in milk. So it may be some type of soup with this bird head bobbing in it, a soup, a dairy soup with this bird head in it. Velo omar lehu velo midi, and Levi remained silent, indicating there's nothing to object to here. He also the Kami to Rebbe, when Levi came and told Rebbe what they served, Omar Le Amai Lo Tashmitinu. So why didn't you excommunicate them? In other words, as far as Rebbe is concerned, they were in violation of a rabbinic restriction, and when one violates rabbinic restrictions, he is subject to excommunication. Omale, so Levi explained, Asre Dributa ben Besero Hu. This, the town that I was visiting, in which they served me this dairy soup with bird heads in it, was a town that followed the rulings of Dributa ben Besero. Vamino, and I figured, Dorash Lehu, Krab Yossi Haglili, that Dributa ben Besero had taught his community the teachings, the laws, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Diomar, Yotzaov She'ein Lo Cholav Eim. That's a quote from the Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi Haglili shows that the bird is excluded from the prohibition of Bosar B'Cholav insofar as the bird doesn't produce milk. There is no mother's milk in the case of birds. The Torah restricts Lo Savash Gvi B'Chalei V'Imo. Hence, the Torah is addressing situations where the animal being cooked is an animal that is a milk producer. The bird being a non-milk producer is therefore not included in the milk meat prohibition in the first place. This story indicates that as far as Rabbi Yossi Haglili is concerned, there isn't even an Iser Derabanan. Now, we continue with a new sugya. We've entitled this sugya with one word on the outside margin, and we call it keva. Keva, in the context of today's sugya, is a reference to a very specific item. It's a reference to milk found inside the stomachs of animals. You can assume that animals are not, generally speaking, milk drinkers, unless you're dealing with a nursing animal, a relatively newborn or young calf, lamb, or kid that's nursing from its mother. In the event that you, let us say, slaughter the lamb or the calf and find inside of its stomach milk, that milk absorbs stomach enzymes, and that milk then, as a result of the additional chemicals that are found by virtue of its having sat in its stomach, this milk can then be used for the manufacture of cheese. It has the necessary enzymes that cause cheese to curdle and to harden. So in one word, this substance is called kefir. Once again, it's the milk found inside the stomachs of animals. The Mishnah continues, Kevas oved kechavim vishel nevela hare zu asura. The kefir of Gentiles. The assumption right now, but the Gemara will discuss this, the cave of Gentiles is a reference to animals that Gentiles slaughtered, and one found inside their stomachs kevah, that milk that we described a moment before, and likewise the milk found inside an animal that died, which we call a nevela. So these two different cases of kevah of Ovikovim, kevah of nevela, the Mishnah declares are forbidden. In other words, you wouldn't be allowed to use that milk for the manufacture of cheese. Hamamid be'or shokeva. Mamid is the procedure that leads to the making of cheese. It's where one sets aside milk in anticipation of it curdling. So one who set aside some milk and put in the milk the what's called or shokeva. Or shokeva is the stomach organ, a piece of stomach, we'll say, or shokeva. So he had a piece of stomach sitting in milk. The Mishnah says, im yesh benosein tam, hare zu asura. If there is stomach meat taste perceived in the milk, so the milk becomes forbidden. The Rashi at the top says, hare zu asura, v'cholof hanimtza korosh be'or hakeva, shemochen oso be'ora, bein shenosnen imo cholof acher, ubein shemochen oso imo, nira be'enai iser gomor. Kib oser b'cholof mamish. This, what Rashi is describing, is someone had taken milk and poured the milk into an animal's stomach. And the hopes, the reason for doing that was the milk would then turn to cheese. Rashi rules that any cheese produced like that will be strictly forbidden, being a problem of Basar B'cholov. The Mishnah continues, Kshera Shionka Min Hatrefa Kevasa Asura, a kosher variety animal that nursed from a trefa. Trefa, it might be a kosher variety animal, but it has a defect in it, one of its organs, rendering it forbidden for eating. So now what we have is a calf that's nursing from a cow that happens to be a trefa. Kevasa asura. The keva of that calf, and as we mentioned before, keva is a reference to the milk found inside of its stomach. That milk will be usser. The Mishnah, in effect, described the milk's source was from an animal that's a trefa. Hence, we can understand why the Mishnah rules the keva is usur. Trefa shiyanka minakshera. Let's say you have a lamb or a calf that itself happens to be a trefa, but it is nursing from a mother animal that is kosher. Kevasa muteres mitnei shekonus b'me'aha. This last expression of the Mishnah explains the respective halachas concerning the keva. Since the keva is essentially is milk that is accumulated in its stomach, so what is of interest to us is where did the milk come from? So the Mishnah is explaining that, after all, the milk is something that came from an outside source that's simply gathered in this animal's stomach. The Gemara now turns to the opening of the Mishnah. The opening of the Mishnah had taught that there is something called kevas ovet yuchavim, and there's also a separate thing called kevas nevela, both being usser. We explained kevas ovet yuchavim meant the keva of an animal slaughtered by a Gentile. So the Gemara asks, "Otu kevas ove kechavim lav nevelo hi?" Would you think that the keva found in an animal slaughtered by a Gentile would not be nevela? It's the same thing. It's an improper slaughtering. An improper slaughtering leads the animal to become a nevela. So why does the Mishnah teach these as two separate cases? Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin that we've referred to as no say, and in parentheses we've added ad sof ha'amud. The topic that we are discussing now will, in general terms, keep us occupied till the bottom of the page when the next mission appears. We have written as a headline to this sugya the following: kevas. The keva, namely the milk found inside a nursing animal, kevas nevela, trefa, shchitas ovikuchavim. The Gemara will also point out that there is a machlokis Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. I amrinon stam shchitas ovikuchavim mazolas leavodazara. That means a Gentile that you see slaughtering an animal, knowing nothing else other than that he is a Gentile, can we assume that the slaughtering was automatically done with idolatrous intent in mind? This concept, or this possibility, is a machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. Of course, if someone slaughters an animal with idolatrous intention, that will render it forbidden. In our Gemara, we also have diamonds that appear. Under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you can see we have a diamond featured, and we've also noted Hezberim L'Mishnasenu. The Gemara will try to offer explanations for the Mishnah, Ekev HaKushya, explanations for the Mishnah that are generated by the question, Lama Kotani B'Masnisin Kevas Nevela, why does the Mishnah teach the prohibition of kevas nevela achrei shekotani kevas ovei kochavim, after it already taught kevas ovei kochavim is forbidden? Otu kevas ovei kochavim lav nevela. Would you think that the keva found inside an animal slaughtered by an idol worshipper is not a nevela? In effect, the kevas ovei kochavim is, in other words, a nevela. So why does the Mishnah mention them as two separate things, nevela and kevas ovei kochavim? The Gemara answers. Amar Rav Huna, as we mentioned, the diamonds represent Rav Huna, and later on you see Shmuel also in a diamond. These are explanations of our Mishnah. So Amar Rav Huna, hocha belokeach gedi min ha'oved kochavim askinan. We are talking about one who purchased a goat from a Gentile, and then it was slaughtered by a Jew. So the Mishnah's reference to kevas ovei kochavim simply means keva found in an animal purchased by a Gentile. Who slaughtered it? Well, the Jew slaughtered it. V'chayshinon, what the Mishnah is worried about is Shema Yonak Min HaTrefa. You notice the double underline. We've included this under our Mivneh heading, Shlovim, the Hesber, Tshuvas, Rav Huna. We'll be dealing with Rav Huna's answer, but in stages. So this is the first stage. The animal purchased from the Gentile, even though it's slaughtered by a Jew, we are still suspect, Hashinon Shema Yonak Min HaTrefa. We're suspicious that maybe the animal had nursed from another animal, a milk-producing animal, that itself happened to be a trefa. The Gemara asks, Umi Chayshinon Shema Yonak Min HaTrefa? Is this something that we take into consideration, Vahatanan? We have the following source. Lokhin beitzin min ha'ovdei kochavim. One is allowed to purchase eggs from Gentiles. Ve'ein chosheshen lo mishum nevela ve'lo mishum trefa. And you don't have to worry that maybe they are eggs that come from a nevela, nor do you have to worry that it comes from eggs that were laid by an animal, a bird, or a chicken, as an example, that happened to be a trefa. You see that we don't worry about something having been a trefa. Elo ema, so then what we have to explain, we're going to give a more refined explanation of Rav Huna. Chayshinon shemo yonak min hatmea. The animal that I bought from the Gentile is something I can't slaughter and use its kavah immediately because I'm afraid that maybe it nursed from an unkosher variety animal. So that even though we have a calf present or a lamb present, it may very well have nursed from an animal that's totally forbidden, from a tamea. The Gemara now asks, Umay shno trefa de lo chayshinon, umay shno tamea de chayshinon? What is the difference between trefa, which we don't suspect, as opposed to the case of behema tamea, which we do suspect? The Gemara answers, trefa lo shchicha, tamea shchicha. The possibility of an animal having nursed from a trefa, that's unusual. In other words, the issue of trefa as a chashash is something far-fetched. The Gemara points out, of course, in contrast, tamea is shchicha. Horses, camels, pigs, these are unkosher variety animals, and yet they're quite common. The Gemara asks, "E shchicha, if it is so that tamea is shchicha, afilu gabi didon nechush, so too with regard to our animals, should we not concern ourselves with maybe the calf that I'm slaughtering and find milk in its stomach is a calf that happened to nurse from a trefa?" The Gemara answers, "Anan de badlinon minayu, we, the Jewish people who keep a distance from unkosher variety animals, v'chi chazinon lehu, mafushinon lehu, and when we do spot a horse or a camel in our vicinity, we will chase them away. Therefore, actually, we should maybe translate, we would move away, distance ourselves from it. That's what is meant here, v'chi chazinon lehu, and when we see a tamea, mafushinon lehu, we set them aside, in other words, we chase them away. Lo gozru b'hu rabbonan. So the rabbonan did not impose a gezerah banning the milk found inside our animals that happen to be nursing on the grounds that maybe they nursed from a trefa. However, inhu, when it comes to Gentiles, the lo badili minayu, they don't separate themselves from tameas, from pigs, horses. B'chi chazu lehu, and when they see a pig in their vicinity, lo mafreshi lehu, they don't chase them away or set them away. So with regard to Gentiles, the possibility of its lamb or the Gentiles' kid or the Gentiles' any other of the Gentiles' young animals, since the behemoth tamei is common in his vicinity, they imposed a gezerah. So, reading that again, inhu delo bedili minayu, goyim that don't separate themselves from pigs and horses, v'chichazu lehu lo mafushilu, and when they see a pig in their vicinity, they won't shoo it away. Therefore, gazru behu rabbanan. The rabbanan ruled that the milk found in an animal acquired from a Gentile is under the suspicion that it may be its milk that came from a behemoth tamei. Now we come upon our next diamond. We see Shmuel's name, and we also see a little aleph next to it. The aleph will be used to contrast this comment with Bayes that you see two lines later. In the meantime, Shmuel Omar Chadokotoni. The Mishnah, when talking about Kevas Uvil Kuchovim and Kevas Avila, are not talking about two separate cases, but rather they are one case, one in the same. Kevas Shchitas Oved Kochovim equals Nevela. The keva that's found in an animal slaughtered by a goy is considered Nevela, something that is prohibited. So that Nevela is a description of the Shchita of a goy, of a Gentile. The Gemara asks, Umiyomar Shmuel Hachi, would Shmuel teach thusly that the prohibition or the iser is because we're dealing with the keva of the shechita of a goy? The ha'omar Shmuel has taught, and notice we have a little bays here. This is the other teaching of Shmuel. It says, "Mitneima osru gavina soiv the kochavim." Why is the cheese produced by Gentiles also prohibited for Jews to consume? But nay, shemamidim osa baor kevas nevela, because they are produced by mixing the milk with the stomach organ itself, with the stomach meat itself placed in the milk, that causing the milk to congeal or to curdle. We infer from this ha keva gufa, but using the milk found inside stomachs of animals slaughtered by goyim sharia, that would not be usur, that wouldn't be a problem. It's only when you use the or keva that is a problem, but the keva itself would not be a problem. Well, then this how could it be that Shmuel explains our Mishnah and which would in effect prohibit the keva of Gentiles, when Shmuel is, we inferred Shmuel holding that the keva of Gentiles is allowed. Lo kasha, kan koidem chazora, kan la'achar chazora. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zorah which deals with the topic of why is it that cheese produced by Gentiles is forbidden. The discussion takes place between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Yishmael. The first suggestion mentioned there is that Gentile cheese is produced by using the keva of nevelas. In the discussion there, it was raised, and it was after Rabbi Yehoshua answered that prohibition is based on it being produced with the keva of nevelas. Rabbi Yishmael asked him, but the keva of a korban ola is a more severe type thing, and yet we see that kohanim would actually drink the keva found inside the stomach of olas, of ola sacrifices. So if the keva of an ola is mutter, certainly the keva of an avela should be mutter. And if that be the case, so then the question comes back as to why is it that Gentile-produced cheeses are forbidden? So a new answer came and said it's because they use the keva of calves that were used in the service of idols. But Keva of Nevela would be okay. So in the discussion concerning cheeses produced by Goyim, by Gentiles, as to what the prohibition is, initially it was thought that the prohibition was that they use the keva found in nevelas. But at the end, it turned out that the prohibition is that they use the keva of calves that were used for idol worship. So we point out that where you see Shmuel indicating that the keva of Goyim has the status of Nevela, that's Shmuel before the Chazorah, before the turnaround. Where you see that Shmuel views the keva of Nevela being allowed, that's after the turnabout, after Rabbi Yeshua had changed his mind and explained that the prohibition of Goyish cheeses is not because they use keva nevela, but because they use the stomach itself of a... let's go over this last point. The inference that we made that the problem with cheeses of Goyim is they use the or keva, that's after he turned around, after the Chazora, where he retracted from using the explanation of nevela as why Goyish cheeses are usur. So once again, just to go over this point, there was one point of the Aleph of Shmuel is before the Chazorah, and the Beis teaching of Shmuel is after the Chazorah. Kshera Shiyonka Min HaTrefa. The Mishnah spoke about a kosher animal, kosher that nursed from a trefa, and we said that the milk in that case would be forbidden. Trefa Shiyonka Min HaKshera Kevasa Muteres. And the Mishnah pointed out that the trefa that nursed from a kosher mother, the keva is allowed, even though the calf itself happens to be a trefa. The Gemara asks, V'ha katani resha, kevas oive kichavim, v'shel nevela, harezu asura. So we see in the resha, nevela, keva of nevela being usur. And yet, in the Seifa, the quote that we most recently featured from the Mishnah indicated that the Trefa Shiyonka Menakshera Kevasa Muteres. So, by focusing on our markings, we see in the Resha, the Keva of Nevela is Usur. And in the Seifa, it seems that the keva of a trefa is muteris. Bear in mind that both a trefa and a vela are both usur kinds of animals. Omar Rav Chisda, resha, in the case of the resha, nira ke'ochel nevelos. Since the resha speaks about the keva of nevela, if we were to allow cheese produced from that, one would think that you're allowed to eat nevela, or it would appear as one is eating nevela. Hocha, in the case of trefa shiyonka min hakshera, ika shchita, there, after all, is a shchita that takes place. The calf that we described of the trefa, calf that was nursing from a kosher mother, and we declare that the keva is mutter, at least there was shchita done. The Gemara asks, Omale Rava, Valav Koldekein Hu, can we not make a present Kalvachomer logic? Uma Nevela de Meisa, mind you, Nevela, which is something that people find reprehensible, something disgusting. And yet, Amris Lo, if we were to have allowed the keva found inside a nevela, people would not have come to eat nevela. because people find nevela meat as being something disgusting. So we would not have been taking much of a risk if we would have allowed keva of nevela. And yet, we find that keva of nevela is aser. Trefa shchuta, the shoras osi lemei chamina lo kol shekein, the trefa calf that was then slaughtered. After now you see there's an actual slaughtering. Is it not so that if we were to allow, as we say, we allow the milk found in the trefa, there is all the more so a suspicion that will come to eat from it, eat the animal itself. So certainly the meat, the keva should be usser. Let's go over this question again. If you're telling me that the keva found inside nevela is usser, then kol shekein or kal vachomer, keva found inside a trefa should certainly be banned. Elo Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Omar Rav Yochanan, lo kashya. Kan kodem chazora, kan liacher chazora, u'mishna lo zaza mimakoma. The comment that indicated that the keva of nevela is asur, that is before the retraction. This is a reference to what we had described earlier, that Rabbi Yeshua had retracted from the explanation of the prohibition of Goyish cheeses, of Gentile cheeses, because they use keva nevela. So once he retracted it, we know that keva of nevela is actually mutter. However, prior to his retraction, keva of nevela was thought to be usser. And that's what we see reflected in the Reisha. Kan le'acher chazara, that's a reference to the seifa, where we were matir, the keva found inside a trefa. Because at that point in time, we in fact would be matir, the keva found inside nevela as well. The Gemara says, "Mishnah lo zaza mimkoma," means the old Mishnah, the old teaching, is not, even though there was a retraction, the original teaching nevertheless was not rejected or was not erased. The original Mishnah stayed around, even though we wouldn't follow it. As we go on in the Gemara, we see triangles, and under the Mivneh heading in the outside margin, the triangle is represented, and we've written Deos Shonos Eich Lifsok Binyan Kevos Hashonos. Different opinions regarding how to rule concerning different keva situations. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Mamidim. We should point out, by the way, that we're going to see the two triangle names that both feature Rabbi Yochanan. Both are quoting Rabbi Yochanan. But the quoters of Rabbi Yochanan will be coming out with different conclusions. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says in the name of Yochanan, Mamidim bekevas nevelos. You can make cheese using the keva found inside nevelos. The ein mamidim bekevas shchitas ove kechavim. But you cannot use the cheese found inside animals that were slaughtered by Gentiles. Omar lefonov Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba asked Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Keman, Karebi Eliezer, are you ruling based on the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? Now, your ruling just said that you will not use the keva of the shechita of a goy. Now, the only reason one might ban using the keva of the shechita of a goy is because he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar, Stam Machsheves Evikovim Lavodis Kochovim, that the anticipated mindset of a Gentile when he is slaughtering something is that he's slaughtering it for an idol. Therefore, if you find the keva inside something a goy slaughtered, and if he had in fact slaughtered for an idol, it would be usser. It would be prohibited, being that it's part of something that was used in the service of an idol. So, Reb Shimon Bar Abba is asking, by teaching by teaching that you cannot use the keva of an animal slaughtered by a goy, it sounds like you're adopting Rebbe Eliezer's approach, that the animal that was shechted must have been shechted for an idol. So, Omale, Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba responds and says, well, you're asking me if my teaching is in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer? Well, of course it is. V'yelo kaman. Well, who else could it be like? Ki also Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Omar Rav Yochanan. Mamidim, you can make cheese, bein bekevas nevela, bein bekevas shchitas oved kechavim. You can use keva of nevela, you can use keva found inside an animal shechted by a goy, shalo lochush ledivri Rabbi Eliezer, showing that we do not concern ourselves with Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. He was the one that said that the stam shchita of a goy is l'shem avodah zara. Now the Gemara rules, ein mamidim beor kevas nevela, you cannot produce cheese using the stomach itself of an animal that was an avela. Avol mamidim bekevas nevela. However, you can use the milk found inside an avela, ubekevas shchitas ovekuchavim. Likewise, milk found inside an animal shechted by a goy, by a Gentile. That too can be used. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.